radio.org.au.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au. This program was originally recorded for ACC TV.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Joy made me do it is a phrase that I stumbled on a couple of years ago. Joy is this concept that comes to us and we experience when we give our lives to God in a powerful manner. Joy is kind of a funny idea. You don't walk around and say, hey, joy. But when you understand what it is life-changing in its expression. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So go get your family, get your friends, get everybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I know today's message is going to bless you. When people have identity issues, the temptation on the lure to do something that isn't true to them is great and it's strong. And you only have to think of your family now. You only have to think of your friends. We're living in a world where people are experiencing unbelievable identity crises. People search for something to fill the void and to fill the gap in their life. They try on things hoping that they'll find themselves. Well, what I want to talk about is our true identity. And I want to talk on the subject of joy, because when you understand this, it'll understand where joy fits in. When we yield our life to God in a full manner, a joy enters us. A joy enters our world that others can't rob us of. A joy enters our world that nothing can be robbed from us. Joy is a gift. Now, this is going to be hard for some of you to grab maybe, but I want you to try and grab this with me. It took me a few times to get this. And if you grab this, you'll remember it forever. But I want to try and take you to another place of thinking. And if you can jump here, and sometimes it takes a few times to get it, but if you can jump here, you will get something that you'll remember for a long, long time. This just so helped me when I got this. We have this thing called the Ten Commitments. And one of our commitments, which we haven't given you yet either, the Ten Commitments, let's go, next screen. It says this, is we're committed to a spirit of fun amongst our team and in our ministry. We always want it to be enjoyable. If you're not enjoying yourself, we're doing something wrong. If we're not happy, we are meant to be God's smilers. You know, we're the people who found Jesus, and so surely we're the ones who know the answer. If it ain't on us. Sandra always says to me when I'm going out to give talks somewhere, she often says to me, and sometimes she even SMSs me and says to me, get your funny on. Because if we have Jesus in us, we're meant to be the happiest people on the planet. To be honest with you, my vision of what these meetings would be is that this would be the rowdiest, laughingest, funnest night of your week. Because if church isn't like that, you know, keep in mind, I realize on Sunday we go to Mass in our parishes, and that's a liturgical form of church, and there's a certain way to do that. We're doing church in a different way here, right? So some things are appropriate in some places and not in other places. There was a guy who said, I want to differentiate between happiness and joy. And we can get a sense of happiness in our life by all sorts of things. A satisfying job will make you happy. A loving relationship of some form with a, you know, whether you're single or married or in a relationship of some form. Money in the bank often will make you feel happy. A pleasant vacation, holiday will make you happy. Good health, meeting your heroes, doing fun things will make you happy. But joy is different. Joy is different. Joy is something that's unpredictable. And joy is something that one bestows on you but you can't get. All right, now stick with me. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Right? We can't manufacture joy, but we can't produce it. We can't control it. But he says we can build it. We can make a way for joy to come into our life. Joy comes to us when we surrender the totality of our life to God. Joy comes when we surrender the totality of our life to God. Joy comes when we say to God, God, this is the scariest thing I've ever done in my life, but I'll do whatever you ask of me, and I'll live whatever way you ask of me, and I'll give whatever you ask of me. Joy is on the other side of that. Joy is not on this side of control. Joy is not, I'm going to church on Sunday and then I'll leave. Joy is that place where we say to God, God, whatever. Whatever you want. And it's scary. Happiness we can achieve. You can all make yourself funny. You can all get your funny on. But joy is not about me. It's about God coming into me. Joy we can only receive when something we have done something, which is when we've surrendered to God in it. I want to read to you someone who's experiencing unbelievable joy. But have a look at the circumstances. This is Paul, and he's writing to Timothy, and this is the last letter he will write before he dies. They're about to kill him. And this man is overflowing with joy. Sounds depressing, doesn't it? Have a look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of the appearing of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. Now, Paul is writing to young Timothy, this young gun preacher. He's in chains. He's close to central Rome because they're about to kill him. But having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, Timothy, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. And then he comes on. This is where we get a glimpse. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure to heaven has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. From now on, there's reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul's experiencing something where he says, I've given my whole life. He has taken me, and where he's led me is to hear this cell. I'm in chains and they're going to kill me, but I've run the good race. I have experienced the Lord. I am assured of my future. I know what it is. And I would love to be able to say I can live it like that too, but it's a challenge. Joy is found on that other side of this saying to God, take me wherever you will take me. Interestingly, and we could give another talk if we wanted to, that's where power is found. Because power is found in surrender. Because remember, we talked, you know, Jesus said, the first will be last, the last will be first. You want to lead, serve. Jesus turns everything upside down. The kingdom is all about these other values. Yeah. Joy is unabashed wonder, because you see the face of God, because you've said, God, whatever you want of me. Joy is knowing that more is yet to come, because what we once thought was important is nothing compared to Jesus, who has become our everything. Joy allows us to unreasonably let our enemies win, because it's no longer important. Joy says, you first, when we deserve to be first. Joy shakes its head at the fact that upside down values now make sense, such as the last will be first and the first will be last. Joy makes me give away when the world says keep. Joy does not need a comedian. Joy causes you to smile at the biggest of things and the smallest things, at the baby's face, at the old person. My mother is I went to see her. She's just only on Friday went into hospital and she won't come out again now. She's going on her way. She's very elderly, very frail. And she's gone to hospital and they're putting her into some form of care. And she just moved from her house and she's got Alzheimer's, and where she's beginning to forget things. And she's just gorgeous, and she's been gorgeous all my life. And I went to see her in hospital, and she's there lying on a bed. And I went in to see her with Rosemary, and we went in there, and we walked in the room, and I just had to laugh and listen to her, because all of a sudden she said, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "The doctor said I've got Alzheimer's." And I said, "You have, Mum?" And she said, she said, "They told me that." She said, "Someone's getting in trouble. The head nurse has come, and the nurse who told me she's getting in trouble." 10 minutes later, she says to me, "You're not going to believe this. I've got Alzheimer's." It went on for an hour and a half. And, you know, and in one sense, it's very sad, but it's, in another sense, it's just gorgeous. She's on her way to him. She's on her way. She's on her way. That once this woman who in her 40s was just utterly strong, and here she is, this lady who can barely walk now. You know, joy causes you to smile even at the face of a lady who's on her way, because you have committed your life to Jesus. Joy sees you helping the elderly, the poor, the weak, the hidden and the hurting, and those who can't give back to you, because you've seen the face of Jesus. Joy sees you do unreasonable things, like give away for no reason at your expense. Joy lets you pay the bill of someone in a restaurant when it wasn't your bill to pay. Joy does not know the meaning of the word defeat, because in him we are all winners. Joy changes our priorities. What we thought was good no longer is. Joy likes the word yes more than no. Joy doesn't judge, but embraces. Joy makes you seem a little mad to everyone else. Joy, when you get joy, people wonder what you're on. People want to be around people who have true joy. You know? People don't necessarily want to be around people that are happy, but people who've got joy, they know you got something. That comes from that surrender. Joy lasts for no reason at all, yet joy is not laughter, but laughter at times is the result of joy. Yeah. Joy is often closest in tragedy, felt most deeply in sadness, and is ever present in hardship. Joy laughs at the good things, the small things, and the complex things. Because in the end of the day, joy knows that it doesn't matter because of who Jesus is. Joy makes us do things and no one understands. And the only thing we can say, and can write this down, is joy made me do it. Just joy made me do it. What would happen if our catch cry was, I've left out the word was there on your sheet, that we walked around saying, "Joy made me do it. Joy made me do it." Joy comes as a result of a relationship with God where you have surrendered and you continue to surrender. I think I told you when I was 19, 20, I lived with 14 guys in Brisbane. I lived in Brisbane for a period of time. And for about 2 years, I lived in this house with 14 blokes. It was the most organized house I've ever been into in my life. And once a year, in this group that we belonged to, they linked it up with one of the Jewish festivals. And there was no reason to link it with Jewish festival. It was just an excuse. But there's this Jewish festival called the Festival of Booths. And the Festival of Booths is just this big celebration. And they decided in this whole group, let's just have a week of celebration. And the whole thing is this, let's have fun. And I remember coming home one day with the other guys to this house. And some girls had come to our house, got into the house. And at the table we sat had got every one of our table settings and glued them or stuck them to the roof. So the entire table setting above the table, plates, knives, forks, glasses, was on the roof. And when you looked at them, they just went, "Joy made me do it." I remember once coming out of the house in these few days and all of these people were on the roof of the house with huge buckets of water. And all you were allowed to say at the end was, "Joy made me do it." What would happen if you went and did some crazy things because of joy? See, because the things you're worrying about, they don't matter when you're giving your life to Jesus. Serious. See, come on, let's be serious now. We're living in a church that's declining numerically extremely fast. It's in the last 5 years, the church's figure is that 18.4% of Catholics stopped going to Mass in this country. 18.4% in 5 years. Tell me any business that can survive like that. It isn't going to be steady as she goes that's going to make a difference. It's going to take crazy Christians who believe that Jesus has come and he's in their heart and that we're called to be different. Come on. It isn't just going to be more of the same. It's going to be people who believe that if you pray for the dead will rise, that the sick will be healed, that the jobs that are needed will come. That's what it's going to take. Otherwise, we can just walk around for a long time hoping one day something will change. But it's going to take a group of people to stand up and say, let's take the scriptures for what they say. It's going to take a group of people to look at the teaching and the tradition of the church and say, we could be like that. I've been reading this wonderful book on leadership. Parts of it are a bit dry. On the leadership of Pope John the 23rd, who started Vatican II back in the early 60s. The guy was a fun guy, and yet the guy was a serious guy. Had a great sense of the presence of God in his life. Why don't you do some crazy things in this next 7 days because of joy? You know, to you men, why don't you take your wives up in your arms like you used to once and tell her that she's the happiness in your life? Oh, she might be a little heavier, rounder, or cuddly, but joy doesn't notice. Why don't you go buy your neighbour a television set and say, joy made me do it? Come on. Don't put a limit on it. Why don't you send a gift to a person who injured you and say, joy made me do it? Why don't you get a water pistol or a bucket and pour it on someone except me and say, joy made me do it? You know, when we've surrendered our life to God, we see differently. Now, some of you, hear me, and I don't want to insult you now, some of you only get this at the happiness level. Some of you have just got it only at the happiness level. I'm talking at the joy level. Because it's joy that will transform the world, because the joy comes from a surrendered life that says, God, whatever you want. I went to this conference a couple of weeks ago, and I listened to, they did this session on suffering. And I don't know if I shared this last weekend. If I did, forgive me, and I'll just repeat it. The guy who was leading the session, he turned to someone sitting beside him and he said, you've just been diagnosed with motor neurone disease and you have 18 months to live. Tell us what that's like. And he said, I love the Lord. And his wife was sitting right there, and they turned, they put the cameras on his wife, and they said, how has this affected your relationship with Jesus? Oh, she said, I was in love with him before this happened. And she said, I'm in love with him now. She said, it hasn't affected any of me at all, because I was surrendered before and I'm surrendered now. It's affected nothing. No. She said, if anything, I just love him more. See, surrender is the place of power. Yeah? Surrender is the place of power. Surrender isn't the place of wondering. So let me give you 4 ways to become a person of joy. And then we're going to take the joy pledge. You didn't know we had a joy pledge, did we? Yeah, you're going to have to stand up and raise your right hand and say the joy pledge. Yeah. Number one. And we're starting at number one again. We did up to 3, now we're starting with number one. 4 ways to become a person of joy. Joy starts with a personal commitment to Jesus. A personal commitment to Jesus. So commitment comes along to Jesus and it says a prayer like this. This is the beginning place. Lord Jesus, I want to belong to you from now on. I'm going to give my whole self to you. I ask you to come and be at the center of my life. With all my heart, I ask your forgiveness for all the sins and failings in my life. I need the strength of your love and grace. I'm going to carry in my heart everywhere I go, just as you hold me precious in your heart. Lord, I give my life to you. That's the beginning spot. Many of you have already been there. Some of you maybe not. Many of you have. Now, number 2, joy grows out of real worship. Real worship is total surrender. Real worship is total surrender. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed festivals of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my anointed festivals. It is about the total surrender of our lives. That's what real worship is. So it starts with this, Jesus, I believe in you and I commit my life to you. And then at some point in our life, that was my 13-year-old commitment. At some point in your life, you come and say, whatever. Wherever you'll take me, whatever you want, I'll do. That scares the daylights out of me. But I'll walk there if you ask me. And that's where joy and power is found. Number three, joy comes from being in God's presence. I'll keep the Lord always before me, it says in Psalms, because he's at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. Joy comes from being in God's presence. God's presence. And that's one of the reasons why daily prayer is so important, is to have a daily committed time when you sit with God and you say with God, God, I'm just going to spend this time with you. And I know life's busy. My life's pretty full. And disciplining yourself to find that time each day, to have that devoted time to say, you're the most important thing and relationship in my life. It is just so utterly important to be in his presence. If you have the chance to go sit before a Blessed Sacrament, if you're Catholic, it's enormously powerful. For me, that's always been powerful for me. Many of the big decisions of my life have been sitting in churches, but often they're not open and you can't always get to them. But that shouldn't avoid you of sitting in your own bedroom or your lounge room or somewhere in your own chair and praying to God that you'd experience his presence right there. And then the fourth one is joy comes from having the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the bit that gives us the power to live. The power. Otherwise, we end up trying to do it in our own strength. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. I've got to be honest with you, probably it's the man in me that felt that those things were really kind of weak and soppy. And I always looked for the, you know, kill this, grab this, conquer this. You know, that was for me. But the older I've got, the more I've realized, and forgive me, ladies, but these are terribly masculine things to try and achieve. Because this is a surrendering of your will to be a certain type of person that experiences power. I never ever saw it. But that is so hard. It's easy to conquer a mountain compared to be generous, be faithful, be gentle to those who need it. My mum needs gentleness right now. She can be very, very taxing in terms of conversation. You go to see her for the hour, hour and a half we were there, we sat with her. She just told us the same story 30 times. And my head is, and I'm sitting there struggling. And Rosemary's just a saint. Rosemary just sits there and you can tell me all these things 100 times. And Rosemary just look, and I'm just off the charts with, this is hard, this is hard, this is hard. What would happen if we were to be people, we the people of the Catholic Guy Impact communities were people who were surrendered to him? You'd go to your parishes and you'd serve more powerfully. You'd love your families more powerfully. You'd love the people that came to our meetings more powerfully. Don't worry about trying to get people to join us. God will look after that. He builds the house. Love everybody who works through these doors as if it's the only time you'll ever see him ever. And you're going to do your best for them. Yeah? Love them to bits. And then every day in that private time of prayer, you know, whether it's late in the evening or it's early in the morning, say, God, I'm here. Talk to me, take me, lead me, show me where you want me to go. Whatever it asks of me, I'll pay. And in that, there is a crazy joy in the midst of sometimes intolerable suffering. And I can't understand how the two of them, you look at the life of John Paul II, particularly toward the end of his life, a man who clearly, in his writings and things he said, was clearly filled with joy and yet soldiered on in a job when he was clearly ill. And so in some sense, that doesn't answer the question at all. In another sense, for me, it's the question of surrender. And maybe I have not expressed that well enough. It is not belief. It is not Jesus be the Lord of my life. That's essential. But it's that point where you come along and say, I surrender to being this. If it means praying for the sick that they be healed, I'll pray. If it means putting my money in, I'll put my money in. If it means that I sell my home and go there, I'll sell my home. If it means, and God doesn't ask those sorts of things from all of us. He does it sometimes of all of us at different times in different ways. It is being completely and utterly sold out. And he might ask you much. It might hurt a bit, but there's a sense of peace on the other side of it. You can't get in anything else. Dear Father, we love you so much, and we pray that you bless us today. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We pray, Lord God, that you really do make joy a part of our life as we surrender our life more fully to you. Lord, allow us to continue to reach out to some of the people that have been coming along. I know some people are really challenged financially in this group. Some are challenged with health issues. Some are challenged with just where they are in life, Lord God. May we be a group that as people come each week, that we accept them and enfold them in love, whatever they are in their journey, Lord God. Bless all of the people who are not here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At the end of many of our events, people often ask me, what's next? Well, I thought about that and I thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go away and create something that I'm going to call What's Next. And what it is that every 2 weeks, we send to you in your email an expanded version of the message that you hear on television. And it comes with notes that you can either do by yourself, that you can do with a group of friends, you can do in your parish, you can do in a small group. And the whole idea is to grow you, expand you, and to help you live a more powerful life. Now, how to receive it is by going to this address on the internet. Just sign up and then you'll begin to receive What's Next every 2 weeks. I pray it blesses you. Well, the Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should go to our friends, go to our family and ask them to pray for us. Well, sometimes it can be hard to find people to pray for us. So why don't you write to me on the addresses on your screen, and I and my prayer team, the people who pray with me and for me, will pray that God is wonderful in your situation, that God responds to your prayer. Well, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go to church right now, I want you to know that God designed us to experience joy. It's more than happiness. It's different to laughter. It's something that's deep within. Well, that's it. I'm Bruce Downs. You've been watching The Catholic Guy. We will see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au. To find out more about The Catholic Guy's discipleship program, visit whatsnext.thecatholicguy.tv. To send Bruce a prayer request, visit the contact section at thecatholicguy.tv. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.